This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal.
Part of what makes this country, is the long-held belief that people rise and fall by their talent, that no matter your pedigree, anybody can make it with brains and hard work. Whether that plays out in reality is a whole nother question. But if you're looking for some place that gets the idea of meritocracy better than most, Silicon Valley is a good option. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark went up to the Valley of the Self-Made Millionaire to see what they're getting right and maybe not so right.
Meritocracy has become part of Silicon Valley's unofficial brand. People like to wear hoodies and sneakers, not stuffy suits. Office decor is meticulously unpretentious, like Steve Jobs' childhood garage, but shinier.
Open warehousey space, no cubes, there's a lot of happy hours.
That's Sarah Lacey, a journalist-turned-entrepreneur who founded Pando Daily, a media startup that covers startups. We met at her office in a San Francisco startup incubator, and it was fully tricked out in meritocracy chic.
A lot of bean bags, couches. This is the igloo.
What happens in the igloo? Why is there an igloo?
It's just an alternative meeting room.
Alternative meeting rooms, igloos, bean bags. They're goofy, but they're meant to send an important message that this is a place of irreverence. Anti-hierarchy. Values that, Lacey says, have made Silicon Valley one of the most meritocratic industries on Earth.
I would challenge anyone to find an economic ecosystem that's more of a meritocracy than Silicon Valley. I mean, let's go down the list. PayPal, Intel, eBay, YouTube. So many entrepreneurs who came over here to this country with nothing and have built huge companies.
This conviction of Silicon Valley's meritocracy credentials is something you hear a lot. Here's Michael Arrington, angel investor and founder of the website TechCrunch, being interviewed on CNN.
Generally speaking, it doesn't matter what your education is. It doesn't matter who your parents are here. You can become very successful based purely on your brain size and how you use it.
And here's Peter Bell, a prominent venture capitalist, being interviewed on TechCrunch.
What's really special about the Valley is the optimism that no matter where you come from, you can start a company, you can join a startup, you can change the world.
A favorite example of the anyone can make it here narrative is
Max Levchin, the PayPal founder.
Sarah Lacey knows the story by heart.
Moved from the Soviet Union when he was 16. His family had $300 in their pocket and had to learn English by watching an old television set that he pulled out of a dumpster and repaired. 10 years later or so, he sold a company for $1.5 billion. I mean, ask someone like Max Levchin, who had that amazing, very American experience. Do you consider this place meritocracy?
My name is Max Levchin. I am a perennial entrepreneur.
So I did ask Max Levchin. But first, I wanted to make sure that the story that gets told about him was right.
Yeah, that's remarkably accurate. The only thing I'm not sure is the amount of dollars we had in our pocket. It may have been 400 or 200. I don't quite remember anymore. But everything else is pretty much correct, including the TV story.
So do you think Silicon Valley is a meritocracy?
I think on the absolute scale, it seems quite meritocratic. I've met lots of people that have succeeded independent of their humble or otherwise origins.
But Levchin told me there are a few details of his story that often get left out. For one, even though his parents couldn't afford a TV,
my family was very supportive of the idea that having access to a personal computer would do something good for me. And within a few weeks of landing in the United States, they gave me a PC to work on, to play with and to explore.
Levchin says it also helped that his mother was actually a computer programmer, and his father, grandfather, and grandmother were physicists, prominent ones. In fact, that list you heard a minute ago of all those big tech companies with immigrant founders, nearly every one of them had parents who were scientists, too.
I actually pondered this a lot, especially in the context of interviewing people to come work for companies that I helped start.
A big part of entrepreneurial success involves confidence, Levchin says, and knowing how to work hard for a faraway goal.
The academic background that my family had, I think, had a big influence on that in my case. They basically told me, look, you need to spend a lot of time just chiseling skills that will eventually pay off in a big way. When I try to interview young people, I look for that family ethic of extraordinarily hard work without immediate payoff.
And maybe that sounds strange to hear one of the poster boys of Silicon Valley meritocracy say that when he's interviewing someone for a job, he thinks about their family background. But it also makes some sense, says Eric Ries, another Silicon Valley entrepreneur. He happens to come from a long line of doctors.
In the venture investing world, they call it the ability to have good pattern recognition, to see things that have worked in the past and try to find those same combination of factors in the future.
Pattern recognition can be useful, says Ries, but it has risks. There's this joke in Silicon Valley that everyone is looking for the next Mark Zuckerberg.
Sometimes you wind up looking for a guy who looks like Mark Zuckerberg physically and talks like him and wears the same kind of clothes he wears. In fact, one of our famous investors recently told a story about investing in someone who turned out to be not very good and then thinking to themselves, how could I have been fooled by this guy? Oh, because he looked like Mark Zuckerberg. That's not merit-based selection.
These sorts of unconscious biases could help explain why just a tiny fraction of the startups that get major funding in Silicon Valley are founded by women or African Americans, says Ries. And then there's the pipeline issue. That PC that Max Levchin's parents scraped up money to buy him when he was a teenager, Ries says that is a very common story.
All the nerds that made right in Silicon Valley, you know, bullied, not popular kids in school, whatever, what we all have in common, or almost all of us, we had a computer at home. We could kind of go home on our own, tinker with it, fall in love with it, learn how to program it. I think about this all the time. What would have happened to me if I didn't have that access, if I didn't have that outlet? Would I have been as successful as I am today? I don't know.
Of course, today, millions of kids don't have their own computers. And sure, creating a perfect meritocracy in any industry is complicated. But Ries says finding a way to get every nerdy kid in America a computer at home, that could be a good next step. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.